Bring on Danny West of HogSports.com. Danny, good afternoon.
Afternoon. How are y'all?
We're doing all right. Well, I don't know if you've heard Mark Edwards of Channel 11's interview with Michael Dyer, but right. Dyer would be open to the possibilities of playing for the Arkansas Razorbacks next year.
Interesting stuff, ain't it?
Isn't it?
I was listening to your show a little bit earlier. I can say we do not believe that Dyer could walk on here, or would walk on here, I should say. I don't think that's really an option. As far as, you know, maybe getting a scholarship, that would really surprise me, guys. I mean, that would, boy, his name has really been in the news a lot. From what I understand, he's trying to get on the right path, and you can never blame a kid for that. We've all been there and made stupid mistakes, and I'm sure he's trying to grow out of it. But, hey, that would really surprise me to see that come to fruition.
Yeah, yes, we have made stupid mistakes. What do you know about his academic eligibility? We had a caller call in and was talking about that he would be ineligible this year anyways. Is that correct?
From what I understand, he's going to be eligible. Now, whether or not he's, you know, in line with the technical rules of the SEC and trying to enroll back into the SEC, that I'm not sure of. Not aware of that or any detailed information on where he stands academically, but from what I understood, as of a couple of weeks ago, he's going to be good to go as far as classroom. I think he's taking care of business there at Arkansas Baptist, so as far as I know, he's going to be okay as far as grades.
Could you see him possibly doing like what Terrell Pryor did, if nothing really comes up, the supplemental NFL draft, where maybe you know, you get a chance and then try to get on the practice squad? Because I think he would be good enough to be on the practice squad. And you see how the NFL, how running backs get banged up every week, it seems like. If he wasn't getting a chance somewhere, do you think that would be probably his next step? Or would you think he might sit out another? Because I don't know if it helps him to sit out another year, or does he go to the CFL or supplemental draft?
Yeah, you know what? In my opinion, I think somebody's actually going to give him a chance. It kind of reminds me of Bobby Petrino's deal. He's not just going to sit around or go and work for free somewhere. Somebody's going to offer him a job because he's good enough. And I think it's kind of the same deal with Mike. I think, you know, obviously, you look at 2010 season, that was a talented freshman. You know, he helped them win that national championship. And the talent and everything's there. He can go and help some teams. Now, if Arkansas gives him a shot, that would surprise me, but I really believe somebody's going to.
1-800-477-1037, 433-1037. We've got Danny West to the bottom of the hour. Let's go to Bo in Cabot. Bo, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
Yeah, you're kind of throwing Petrino under the bus on the Mike Dyer recruiting. Ask Danny, I'd like to hear more about, you know, I believe the kid was bought and paid for. And ask Danny some more about Dakota Mosley's dad, what influence he was on getting Dyer to Auburn, and Uncle Andre, how they influenced him to go to Auburn. I mean, yeah, it's easy to throw Petrino under the bus, but there was Auburn was paying off so many players and breaking so many rules at that time, and we're crazy if we think that he didn't come to Arkansas just because of Petrino. There was a lot more going on, and I'd like to hear Danny's take on that. I know he was behind the scenes, and I'm sure he's seen all kinds of stories. But I know a lot of times they might not want to spill the beans on it, but I'd love to hear what Danny has to say about it. But I don't think we need to be throwing Petrino under the bus on that recruitment, because it was dirty as it gets.
Okay.
Appreciate it, and then I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you, Bo. Appreciate the call. Danny?
From and we hear a lot of things like that, but as far as me personally, I think it'd be irresponsible on my part to sit here and speculate as to anybody getting bought and paid for this and that. What I can say is that on you know, officially, Bobby Petrino really didn't show a whole lot of interest in Michael Dyer until very, very late in the process. And really, you look at it, one could say that his Arkansas offer really wasn't pushed until the last night before signing day. So we could sit here and air out dirty laundry on Auburn and Petrino, but the fact remains he went to Auburn. What led him there, I think it would be irresponsible for me to sit here and speculate on.
Well, it could be, too, that the fact that Auburn was on him in the beginning.
They were there very early. Petrino kind of drug his feet. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and drag Petrino through the mud, but he's not like a Brett Bielema where he's really personal, you know, with the kids and really spends a whole lot of time with them. I was told by a former staff member of last year's staff that Bobby Petrino in 4 years had visited 10 in-state schools in his career at Arkansas. That's just not going to cut it with a lot of kids. They want, you know, personal attention and personal sit-down time and to get to know coaches. So I think that, you know, was the big factor in Mike Dyer more than anything.
Danny, I tend to agree with you because when you're a five-star recruit, an All-American type recruit, you got to be pampered a little bit, I think. And
you want to feel wanted.
Exactly. Absolutely. And if one thing, Petrino, even if he doesn't mean to, could rub you the wrong way, and all it takes is that one time to get the bad feeling, bad vibe from him, and then you're not going to go there, especially when you have all those other offers. It wasn't just, you know, Arkansas, Missouri, or Oklahoma State. You know, it wasn't those three teams in it. He could have went just about anywhere he wanted to.
You're absolutely right. I totally agree with you, Matt.
Let's go to John in Arkadelphia, who has a question for Danny. John?
Hey, guys. I'm just going to flip-flop sports here and go towards basketball. The last time Danny West was on, he thought that the Jamal James, I believe, was kind of a sure thing. Just kind of asking his thoughts about James committing to Texas A&M and then maybe some upcoming guys since we have a couple of scholarships open since Mickelson is now left as well.
Thank you, John.
Putting me on the spot, John. Hey, I'll be the first to admit that one absolutely stunned me with Jamal Jones.
I think it stunned a lot of people.
It stunned everyone. I can tell you this. Jamal told me on multiple occasions after the Arkansas offer, this is my dream offer. It's always been my dream to come back home and play for the Razorbacks. You heard him talk about joining the likes of Corliss and Sidney and people that, you know, came to Arkansas and kind of put Arkansas on the map. And when you hear those type things from an Arkansas kid, most of the time it's legit. So that Monday morning when he announced that he's going to Texas A&M, it just floored me. I could not believe that. And, hey, I'll definitely take ownership for that one. I was dead wrong. And, hey, but good luck to Jamal. He's a good kid. He's got a second opportunity to do something. Wish him the best.
Let's go to the realist. Realist.
What's up, man? I just wanted to back up what Danny was saying about him being eligible. He went to Arkansas Baptist under the 2-1-2 rule or whatever. I was looking it up when he first went over there. And Vince Hill said as long as he had graduated and passed some classes, he's going to be eligible to go to a Division I school and be eligible this year. So
right.
he should be eligible. But he also was talking about some Division I schools had called to ask about him and some NFL schools. I mean, NFL teams were saying they would actually draft him this year.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I think Danny did say that, you know, he thinks somebody would give him a shot, but if they didn't, I really think that would be his move, would go to
right.
the supplemental draft.
Or go to a late round if he did get drafted, it'd probably be a late round. So
well, don't you have to already enter the NFL draft for this year?
The draft is coming
It would have
up
to be
week.
Supplemental, I think.
Oh, yeah, he's too late.
Yeah, he would have to be supplemental.
I just hope he goes somewhere and do good. He's from Arkansas, so I don't wish nothing bad on Arkansas kids. Peace out, Mike.
Thank you, Realist. Appreciate the call. Danny, with the fact that the Arkansas basketball team, Jamal Jones, who people thought would be a Razorback, is not going to be a Razorback, and Hunter Mickelson, is there anybody out there right now that they can jump on, or does Mike Anderson just probably keep these offers because you've got a pretty big class in 2014 that there's going to be a lot of talent in that class coming through?
Absolutely. That's definitely an option for Mike. He could just sit on the open scholarships, and right now he's got two to give. He could use those next year, but some interesting news came out yesterday that Manuel Watkins here at Fayetteville High, the guard, point guard, shooting guard, had picked up an offer from Arkansas. I can tell you this. I've called his coach and talked to Coach Adams a couple of times. He really didn't know a whole lot about the situation. I would imagine, you know, this is obviously a coach's son, Melvin Watkins' son. So I would imagine most of that's being done behind closed doors right now. So we may not hear a whole lot of that unless he just totally commits. Now, the interesting thing is Manuel was actually committed to Missouri State and was getting ready to sign with that school yesterday morning when apparently Arkansas threw in a late offer. So that would be somewhat of a surprise. Not sure how fans feel about it at this point after striking out on Jamal Jones and, of course, finding out that Desmond Lee wouldn't even be eligible to enroll here, and that took him off the board. So a little bit disappointing, I think, is what the fans feel right now. But, hey, it takes time. Again, I'll say it again, it takes time. And I think Anderson still got them headed in the right direction. You can't forget about Bobby Portis and Moses Kingsley. I mean, he has to get credit for those two. I mean, those are big-time kids, and certainly a couple that can really help them next year. So just be patient with them would be my word.
Desmond Lee, when do you think that they found out about him not being eligible in the SEC? Because they spent an awful lot of time trying to recruit him.
I'll tell you what, I was told that it was about a week before when they actually found out he wouldn't even be able to enroll in an SEC school. That's an awful long time to recruit somebody without having that checked off. I will say that.
Boy, that is a long time. Let's go to Cam in The Rock. Cam, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Great show.
Thank you.
Hey, I don't know too much about the Watkins kid. How is he compared to the kid from Parkview, Ossie Reddy? I'm just kind of trying to figure out why Arkansas never recruited Mr. Reddy from Parkview, but Mississippi State signed the kid. I ain't going to listen.
Okay, thank you, Cam. Danny, I can take
prospect?
That. Well, IJ Reddy, but he wants to have him compared to Manny Watkins.
Oh, you know what? I don't know enough about Reddy.
Okay,
that wasn't a kid.
I can step in on that one because IJ Reddy is a guard that's about, I'd say, 5'11".
He's a true point guard, though, right?
5'11", true point guard. And Manny Watkins is about 6'4". And he can play more than the one. He can play the two. He could play the three. If he had to play the four, I think he could go down and play the four, too. But the reason IJ Reddy wasn't really recruited by Arkansas is because he committed to Nebraska, I want to say, around his sophomore year when Wes Flanagan, whose father, Al Flanagan, is the coach of Little Rock Parkview, was on Doc Sadler's staff at Nebraska. Doc Sadler, after this past year, fired from Nebraska. Wes Flanagan joins Rick Ray at Mississippi State, and Wes Flanagan had been recruiting IJ Reddy. IJ was going to go to Nebraska, and all he did was just switch and said, I'm going where Coach Wes Flanagan is, and that's Mississippi State. And so that's why IJ decided to go to Mississippi State. And I don't know if Arkansas really got in on him. I know they are on Anson Beard, who has transferred and is going to play at North Little Rock next year. And I know that Arkansas is in on Karan Ross at Jonesboro. So hopefully that answers that question. Danny, you look at this weekend with the spring game coming up, and obviously it's a big weekend. Brett Bielema and the staff are hoping to set a record, 50,000-plus on hand. Talk about some of the recruits that could potentially be on the hill this Saturday in Fayetteville. And obviously the bigger the crowd, the more impressed I'm sure the recruits would be that the Arkansas fans come out and support this team in just the red-white spring game.
Absolutely, and let me touch on that before I get into recruiting. Kentucky had 51,000 last Saturday. Surely, Arkansas fans listening to this right now, surely you're not going to let Kentucky beat you on that, right? So anyway, you're exactly right. As far as the crowd, that would really impress recruits to see that kind of turnout. They've got some really big-time kids coming in. Josh Frazier here at Springdale Harbor, four-star recruit. Everybody knows the story on Josh. Probably the top target on Arkansas's list right now, simply because he's right here in the backyard and definitely a quality prospect. Bijan Jackson from El Dorado, who was already committed to Arkansas, picked up an Alabama offer last week, so that was big. That always looks good. Arkansas is going to end up keeping him, and no problem there. He's 100% firm at this point. And then out of state, you got some kids out of Texas coming in. Davion Hall, four-star wide receiver slash safety from Texarkana. He visited up here a few weeks ago, has a cousin on the Arkansas track team, as well as four-star defensive end Solomon Thomas, who visited just a couple of weeks ago. His sister is actually in school up here. Big-time kid. Arkansas is definitely in the mix pretty well there. And then you've got 2015 offensive lineman who we've talked about a lot on this show, Zach Rogers from Hebron, Texas. Texas has offered, Oklahoma's offered, but again, Arkansas is right there in the mix. And to be honest with you, I think his family would be okay with me saying Arkansas might actually be somewhat of a leader right now, even over Texas and Oklahoma. They're in love with Arkansas and the program, and Northwest Arkansas and the surrounding area has really been impressive to them. So definitely one to watch for 2015. And then you've got I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Well, just one more kid, a pretty big-time kid, running back out of Louisiana, Sion Pelele, told one of our guys at Rivals last week that Arkansas is actually number one on his list and that they have offered. So a pretty good one to watch there. And then you've got some North Little Rock guys. Juwan Day is committed already, the running back. Kaven Alexander is the guy I really, really like in this year's class. K.J. Hill, 2015 guy, and a 2014 offensive lineman, Curtis Parker from North Little Rock. That's a pretty good in-state group.
That is a really good in-state group.
And, Danny, with this spring game coming up, we've kind of been talking a little bit about the depth chart. And do you think Coach will release a depth chart after spring ball is done as far as a two deep? And or will he name a quarterback?
You know what? I'm not expecting that. I'm really not. I think we've heard for a few weeks now that the official depth chart probably won't come until about a week before the first game, so that would be a little bit of a surprise to see it any sooner. And on quarterback, I think they want to take that competition on into August, even though Brandon Allen looks like he's ahead at this point and looks like he's well on his way to winning that job. I think you want to keep that competition going. Brandon Allen is still a young guy, and you don't want him settling in too soon. He's not that much ahead to begin with. Brandon Mitchell, you know, it should be interesting to see how he does Saturday. He's hit, I want to say, 48% of his passes so far in three scrimmages. So still got a long way to go at quarterback, but I really believe they want to keep that competition going.
Yeah, he needs to get that number up. And the other thing I had is, okay, so Brandon Allen wins the job. Let's say he wins the job. Do you think Brandon Mitchell finds a place on the field, even if it was D-back, receiver, H-back, something? Do you think they find a way to get him out there, or do you think he would just be the backup?
Well, I think he would probably stay at quarterback, but I think you'd probably see them try to get him as much playing time as possible. Now, that won't be the easiest thing in the world because you look at that schedule, and again, this isn't an Arkansas team that's probably going to blow out a lot of people, so playing time will probably be limited, but I do think you've got to do your best to get Brandon Mitchell out there. He's been a true Razorback. He's stuck around long enough, had plenty of opportunities. He could have done other things, could have gone to basketball full time. So I think you owe it to Brandon Mitchell to put him out there as much as possible.
Let's go to Lee in North Little Rock. He's got a question for you, Danny.
I agree with him 140% about that situation because, you see, Mitchell will have more experience. For one thing, and I think that Allen will get his chance, but I think that Mitchell has did everything that he's supposed to do, and I think that if he's in the still a competition, plus I think he's more of a double threat, you know, at running the ball and stuff. But one thing that I wanted to ask you guys is about the linemen. How is Arkansas doing as far as offensive and defensive linemen? I think that's going to be one of the most important things. Because you really got to be physical to compete in this SEC, and you're going to need top of the line linemen. And Okay, so I just hang up and listen.
All right. Thank you, Lee.
We got a break, guys?
We do. You want to hang on?
Yeah, I can hold on through the break, absolutely.
All right. We'll have Danny hold on through the break. If you've got a question for Danny West of HogSports.com, 1-800-477-1037, 433-1037, the number to call. We will answer Lee's question when we come back from the break. Plus, we will get to some of your Keith Lee Service Company live fan feedback. We've got some questions on there as well. We return to the Arkansas Mailing Services Hotline. Danny West is of HogSports.com is with us. Danny, you want to finish your comments?
Yeah, I want to answer Lee's question on the offensive and defensive lines because I think it's a very important question. Right now, he's absolutely right about being physical up front on the offensive line. I do think they've taken strides with that under Sam Pittman. I think they've come a long way with that group, that starting group of David Hurd, Mitch Smothers, Travis Swanson, Bray Cook, and Grady Allison. But a key up front right now is Chris Stringer and Austin Beck appear to be really coming on at offensive tackle to give them a pretty good amount of depth there. So that's very key. Swanson, actually, I'll give you an example. He told me the other day after practice that I guess a few days ago he went back and watched the first couple of practices this spring, and he said it was night and day difference between where they started and where they are now. So he thinks it's coming on pretty well. And, you know, it doesn't hurt to have Travis Swanson out there. He's basically an on-the-field coach. He can direct people and tell them exactly
He knows where the line's going, the running back should run, and he knows the route the receivers should run as well.
That's a sharp guy right there. So I think his leadership has really been key. So I really expect that group to be more physical, to be more well-rounded this year. And I think they're happy with that. Defensively, I think they're very pleased with what they have up front. The starting group of Chris Smith, Trey Flowers, Byron Jones, and Robert Thomas. Sure, it may not be the SEC's best defensive line, but it's going to be a pretty good one. It's going to keep you in ball games. But again, I think you see Darius Filon, a backup tackle, Daryl Kelly Thomas at defensive end, as well as Dietrich Wise at defensive end. Those guys are really starting to come on and standing out in every practice we've seen.
Danny, we've got a couple of Keith Lee Service Company live fan feedback questions for you. Jim in North Little Rock. Danny, can you update us on how the Hogs are looking on point guard Jalen James, 6'2", 184, and shooting guard Frank Bartley, 6'4", 202. Are there any other targets the Hogs have on their radar at guard? And is there any word on the Hogs offering Devin Walker, I believe. My computer just refreshed on me. So Devin Wilson, 6'4", 185.
Yeah, Devin Wilson is the kid from Pennsylvania we spoke about a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I think there's very little movement there, but I will say on Jalen James, point guard from Chicago. He says Arkansas, he told me the other day that Arkansas definitely will get an official visit. He's also hearing from schools like Bowling Green, stuff like this. So you're not sure how, firm that offer is right now. It still may be a little bit depending on what happens with other prospects. But Jalen talks to Arkansas staff every other day. Right now, I would probably say if they offered Watkins here at Fayetteville High, they would probably want him a little more. That's just my honest opinion, but we'll have to wait and see. I've also heard that they still want a big man to go along with Portis and Kingsley. It may sound a little bit funny right now because they absolutely need guard help, but if they've got two scholarships to give. So if they take the route of giving those scholarships out and trying to find people, I think you'll see at least one point guard and possibly one more big man.
And Bill in Cotton Plant, Jarvis Cooper, one of the in-state recruits in Arkansas. Where does he stand on the Razorbacks?
Love him. I love Jarvis Cooper to death. I think he's absolutely one of the best prospects in the state. I think I've got him at 3 or 4 right now in the state. He's got 3 early offers, Arkansas State, Memphis, and UCA. This is a kid I really believe he's going to end up getting an Arkansas offer. I think he needs to come to camp and let them figure out what position he needs to play because he's a little bit on the short side at 5'11 or so, 6 foot. So maybe they try him at linebacker. Maybe he's a fullback. I do think Arkansas will try him at defensive end a little bit as a rush end, even at that height. So a lot of things he can do, and definitely one of the more versatile players in the state. Right now, if I had to guess, I would say he's going to end up getting an Arkansas offer in time. I just don't know when that might come.
Let's go to Nigel in the Rock. Nigel, welcome to Overtime.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Hey, I wanted to talk about Mallett. Somewhere down the line, I've been following Mallett for a long time, but it seems like he's got lost in the shuffle, you know? And he has a lot of talent. I really would like to see some of that talent come out and, you know, be shown on the field. I know him playing behind Brady with him getting that contract. It's going to be a long time before we see him, unless he gets opt out somewhere or unless he just leaves. So what do you think his best move should be? You know.
Well, that's a good question, and we've been talking about that,
Thank
I guess.
Thank you, Nigel.
Yeah, on and off the last couple of weeks. But it's you know, you're not going to play with Brady being there. But, again, you're one play away. If you like the environment you're in up there and coach, and you really believe that you're the next guy in line, you're still waiting 4 or 5 years if Brady's healthy. If you want to play now, is this the last year of his contract for Mallett with this coming up year? Then maybe you have options, because it's tough right now unless they trade you. He can't do anything. But when it opens back up, you know, if the Patriots commit to him and kind of give him a decent money for a backup deal, I would stay. If not, then yeah, because I guarantee you he wants to play. You know, everybody doesn't want to sit on the bench. He wants to play. He's a young guy. So maybe one more year you back up, you learn as much as you can, and then you go off somewhere next year and try to be the starter.
Danny, another question from Jim in North Little Rock. Any word on the Hogs offering JUCO point guard Hakeem Harris?
No word on that. I'm not aware of that. I'm sorry. I will check into that and hit you guys back.
Okay, sounds good. Danny, as always, we appreciate your time.
Anytime, guys. I enjoyed it.